Good morning. Happy to be able to present a lesson of God's Word to all of you on this fine morning. Of course, all of you guys, as I said in Bible class, I've told you that I love the winter, and this weather is nice to me. And of course, I know I'm crazy, but this weather's nice. I can't tell you any better weather that we could probably have than this nice, cool Sunday morning weather. This morning, as our scripture was read, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we are going to focus on the temptation of Christ. Now, usually preachers, what they do is they usually preach the first part of this chapter where Jesus is tempted three times. Well, I'm stubborn and I like doing things different for a change. And so I want to focus on the first four verses of this text, because there's so much that we can learn just from these four verses. In Matthew chapter 4, Satan is tempting Jesus, trying to make him sin, trying to make him lose his integrity. Of course, Jesus on three different attempts stayed true to God. He didn't lose his integrity. He stayed to what he came here for. He didn't fall. He did not sin. Now, Satan, in our text, met Jesus after he had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And now that Jesus has done this, he is probably weak physically due to lack of nutrients. And so as we look at this text, as we look at it, let's notice how the devil works, who he is, and how to respond when we are tempted. In verses 1 through 2 of our text, we see the temptation. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry." Now, but before we get into verses 1 through 2, we have to look at the context. In Matthew chapter 3, in the verse 17, the first, just right before our text, it says, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Here in this verse right before our text, this previous chapter, God would declare Jesus as his Son, the only begotten. After this, Jesus would be led by the Spirit to the wilderness where he would be tempted. Well, he was declared the Son of God, and that is extremely important because people say that he's not the Son of God. Well, he is. Even God himself declared Jesus as the Son of God. Now, after his declaration of deity, of being the Son of God, he would be led into this wilderness where he would be tempted. Now, an author by the last name of Mounts, I think his first name was Robert Mounts, I think that's what it is. Anyhow, he had a quote that goes along with this morning's lesson. His quote was, "Often temptation quickly follows a spiritual high point." That is certain for what happened with Christ here. After he was declared the Son of God, temptation, his temptation, came right afterwards. He was going to be tempted by the devil. Now, this trial in the wilderness would serve to prove Jesus' character as he would begin his earthly ministry. This would prove Jesus to be who he is, because he was able to stay sinless through this. He was able to keep his integrity, even though being tempted by Satan. Now, within the Bible, there are similar events in other places that are similar to this. And the one person that comes to mind is Moses. Moses would be led into the wilderness while leading the Israelites. And he also would fast for 40 days and 40 nights, as did Jesus. He goes along with exactly what happened to Jesus here in our text. Now, the connection between Moses and the Israelites to Jesus is one that looks at both of them being tested. Both Jesus and Moses was tested. Now, both, of course, Israel and Jesus were also called the sons of God. The only difference to this is that Jesus is the only one that was worthy of wearing, holding that title of Son of God. He would respond when he is tempted by the devil. He would respond to this test that he is going through with faithfulness. He would keep his integrity. In Matthew chapter 2, in the verses 15, it says, "And was there until the death of Herod, and that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. Here in Matthew chapter 2 and the verses 15, we can see this concept of Jesus as the true Israel. The whole entire Old Testament pointed towards one person, and that one person is Christ. The whole entire Old Testament talked about this coming Messiah, this coming person that will come and save the world. And of course, that is being Christ. Here in that verse, we see that that it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. The prophets spoke about Christ, spoke about a coming Messiah. There is so much messianic prophecy within the Old Testament, all pointing to one man, and that man being Jesus Christ. And he'd be called, or out of Egypt, I called my son. He would be called out. He is the Son of God. He is Jesus, the one that we're going to be speaking about this morning. And so we see that after his declaration, he was going to be tempted. Now in verses 1 through 2, we see the devil's temptation. The devil would tempt Jesus. The words in verse 1, let up, shows that Jesus had to go to a higher elevation just to be tempted. He had to go up. I don't know how well your guys' Bible geography is, but pretty much every single city that was ever made over there in the Canaan land and the land of promise, most of the cities were on top of the hills, mainly for defense, and then because that's where most of the flat spots were. They were able to build upon those hills, and so whenever they had to go somewhere, they had to go up instead of going down. They had to go up to the city. Well, here, Jesus had to be led up into the wilderness, to that higher elevation. The Spirit would lead him up to be tempted by Satan. Now, in Mark's account of this, it says that the Spirit drove him. And, of course, this being a sure reference to his physical being, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. We know that God does not tempt us, but he allows the devil to tempt others. Here, he is allowing the devil to tempt Jesus for a purpose. And that purpose is the one is for that plan that he had from the beginning of time to send his son to the cross to die for us. He allows the devil to do this. Now, we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear that the devil will win over us, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verses 13, we see that God has provided a way for us to escape. He has given us the ability to choose the right thing. As free moral agents, we have that choice to serve sin or to choose to serve righteousness. He has given us that ability to choose. He has given us a way to escape. And so we don't have to fear the devil in that way. This temptation of Christ was allowed, as I said, because it was part of the will of God. God had that plan for his son, his only begotten son, to go to this earth, to die for all of us, so that all of us can have that eternal salvation, that hope of eternal salvation. And so here we see that he was led up to be tempted. In verse 2, Jesus prepared himself for the devil by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He prepared himself by fasting. Now, throughout the Bible, there are many instances where people fasted for spiritual reasons. They were preparing themselves for what was to come, for the thing that they're going to have to go through. It might be something that might cause them grief, might cause them trouble. And so they are fasting. They are, and fasting here is praying. They are praying to the Lord. They go to the Lord first instead of depending on themselves. They pray for his help. And he will help. He will help in every situation. And so, for Christ, he did it. He was fasting. He was doing all this because he knew that Satan was going to tempt him. And he also knew that his earthly ministry was going to be rough. And so he prepared himself by fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I talked about a few seconds ago, about him being weak due to a lack of nutrients. From a lack of nutrients, the Lord was definitely weak, and he for sure definitely hungry. I can't imagine going a day without eating food. And I don't know if you can see it within me. I love food, mainly Chinese food. I love it. But he was suffering from a lack of nutrients. You could probably imagine what would he have looked like. You probably can imagine that. You might not want to, but just imagine that. What would he have looked like after not eating for 40 days and for 40 nights? What would he have looked like? Well, in the book of Job, it gives a description, not of Christ, but it gives a description that can give you a better image in your mind. He probably would have looked like skin and bones. He probably would have just been almost nothing completely. Just bones, just a walking skeleton after not eating, having those nutrients that the body needs. He would have probably be skin and bones, be nothing almost. He probably had very little strength to even lift up his head. And that's why when Mark, the account in Mark said the Spirit drove him, he had no really physical ability to move probably at all. He was being led. He was being drove into this wilderness to be tempted. At his weakest moment here, he is being drove to be tempted by Satan. We can see that he was extremely close to death here, but he still went against the devil for us. He still went to set that example that all of us should follow, that example of sinlessness and integrity. Now, back in Mark's account, it mentioned how the beasts were around him, that they were surrounding him, waiting. The predators were waiting for him to pass on so that they could feast on what is there. They were wanting to pounce upon him. You can imagine that there was probably also vultures just flying around in circles, waiting for him to take his last breath, waiting for him to, I'll use this way, probably not the best way, kick the bucket. They were waiting for him so that they could feast on what was there, so that they could eat. This is describing that he was weak, that he probably couldn't move much, that these animals saw him as prey, saw him as something to pounce upon. They were waiting for the right moment. They were waiting, but Satan wasn't. Satan, we see that Satan came at his weakest moment. Satan came to try to tempt him, to try to get him to turn from God, to turn from his Father. And he will do that to us too. He will come at our weakest moment and use that weakness against us. And that's why we have to follow this perfect example, Christ. I have a lesson titled Jesus Christ, Our Perfect Example, from 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. We are to follow Christ. He has laid out footsteps for us to follow. And if we follow him, well, we'll make it to heaven. Because he is that perfect example. Now, when I was in class, and this is a lesson that I did for one of my class assignments, we looked over this text and talked about the teacher, Terry Jones is his name. We talked about the longest someone has ever gone without eating from his memory. And he talked about how he heard of someone going 56 days without eating. Not 40 nights or 40 days and 40 nights, but 56 days. As I said before, I couldn't even imagine going without one day without eating. Maybe, I tried 4 days during our lectureship this past year, the West Virginia School of Preaching lectureship. I tried 4 days, and that fourth day, I almost made it. But then one of the older women of the congregation started talking about some food, and I failed. But imagine going this long without eating. And then Satan comes to you and tries to tempt you. At your weakest moment, he attacks you. He is trying to tempt you, to make you fall away. Imagine having to go through this. The Lord went through it for us. The Lord did it for us to show us that it's possible, to show us that we can do it if we just follow what he did. That person that went 56 days, we don't know if that person had passed on or was able to recover, but when you go that long without nutrients, you're very close to death. Jesus was definitely extremely close to death. If the animals are getting ready to pounce upon and waiting for him to take that last breath, he's very close to dying. Being this hungry can cause you to forget about everything but your next meal. Right now, of course, even though I'm preaching, I'm thinking of what I'm going to eat today. Just because I haven't eaten since yesterday. But imagine the desire that the Lord had, the desire to fulfill his hunger. But he was keeping his integrity. He was keeping it because he knew the Lord would provide. He knew that the Lord would help him later on. The temptation the devil would use against Jesus would be the weak point of what he's suffering through right now. He's hungry. The devil would use his hunger against him. He would tell him to turn these stones into bread, as the text says a little bit later. He attacks him with his weak points. He attacks him with that hunger, telling him, just do this. Just do this and you won't be hungry anymore. You can have your nutrients. It's exactly what he does to us. He tempts us with our weakest points to make us to give in to him. He wants us to give in to him. We'll talk about here in the second point why. Because he is the tempter. In verse 3, we see that he is the tempter. And he does this because he wants it for his benefit, not for ours. He wants to do it for his own benefit. He wants to try to get everyone he can to fall away as fast as possible before the Lord returns. Because he knows that's the only victory he can ever get, is to take us away from God. Because at the last day, he will lose. Christ has already defeated him, of course, by going to the cross, but he will lose officially, fully. Now in verse 3, as I keep on saying it, we see the tempter. In Matthew chapter 4, in verses 3, it says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" And in the first part of verse 3 here, we see the devil's appearing. The devil appeared before the Lord in the wilderness to tempt him. The devil came to Jesus implying that he was somewhere else, implying that he wasn't there at that very moment. He was being drove to the wilderness. In Job chapter 1 and the verse 7, we learn that the devil is walking to and fro upon the earth. And of course, we can look at Peter's account where he describes him as a lion. He is walking to and fro upon the earth, seeking whom he may devour, seeking who he's able to take away from the Lord, to separate from the Lord, because he is the tempter. He is the one that wants to be here just to deceive us. The devil here came from what he was doing just to tempt the Lord, just to tempt him, to try to get him to fall at his weakest moment. The devil will do the same for us at our weakest moment, at any point in our life. The devil will come to us, will try to tempt us, to try to get us to fall away from God. And we have to be strong. We have to follow this example that God has, or that Jesus has set, to keep our integrity, to have all of our trust, have all of our faith in God, and that he will see us through. He came to tempt them. Now Matthew, as the text here will say, would refer to Satan as the tempter. By him doing this, he's implying that the only reason Satan is around is to persuade his victims to do evil. That is the only reason Satan is around, is to deceive, to cause trouble, to take us away from the Lord. Paul would speak about this in the same way in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 in the verses 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 in the verses 5. It says, "Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." With us being human, we have a lack of self-control. We fall to our desires. We fall to the things that we are desiring extremely bad. And sometimes those could be bad things. Sometimes those could be good things. But those bad things, Satan uses it against us. He tempts us, as he did Jesus here, to make us fall, to see that, see whatever it may be. He tempts us to desire it, to want it so badly that we just fall away and just go to it. Because we want it so badly, we just go to it. He does that to us. He is the great deceiver. And Paul says that because of our lack of self-control, he tempts us. He comes after us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verses 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the verses 5, it says, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain." Here, Paul is speaking to the Thessalonian brethren, and he refers to Satan as the tempter. He is here to deceive. He is here to take us away from the Lord, as this text, as this verse here is saying, the tempter had tempted you. The devil is only here to take us away from the Lord. I know I keep on repeating this, but it's important for us to see this. It's important for us to know this, to be aware of this, because if we're not aware of this, well, we're going to be one of the ones that fall away. We're going to be the ones that follow that desire, that thing that the devil is using against us. That's why it's so important for us to be aware of this. Now, the Bible makes it clear that the devil is someone bad. Many had their own names for this tempter, which were, of course, accuser, ruler of this world, the god of this world, a roaring lion, as we spoke about with Peter, a serpent. There are so many names within this Bible, within this book. Not this one, but the one that all of us have. All these names are describing Satan, and not one of them are good. None of them are good. And it's the God explaining to us, God telling us to be aware of these things by just using names. He's telling us that we have to be aware of this deceiver, this great deceiver, who will take us away from him, take us away from our Heavenly Father. And we have to realize that. Now, in the second half of verse 3, we see the problem. The devil would say to Christ, "If thou be the Son of God." Now, of course, there is zero question that Satan knew who Christ was. There's zero question in that. He would use the same word God used towards his son, but in a different order. The question to this is, why did he do this? Why would he change this little order up that the Lord declared his son as the Son of God? Why would he change this up? Well, we just spoke about it a second ago. The devil is the great deceiver. He is trying his best to deceive as many as he can before his end comes. The devil knew that Jesus was deity because Christ was around from the beginning of time. Christ, as the book of John speaks about, is the Word. He is God. He was there at the beginning. And so there's no doubt at all that the devil knew who Jesus was. What Satan is saying here is, since you are the Son of God, show me what you can do. Show me your power. This is what he is saying here to Jesus. And with him saying this, he is tempting the Lord. He tempts him by challenging him, by trying to test him, test his integrity. The devil would tell Jesus at his weakest moment to turn stones into bread, to fulfill his hunger, to fulfill his desire. I've been speaking about this desire this whole entire time that the devil would use against us. Well, there's scripture for this. In James chapter 1 and the verses 14, it says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." The devil doesn't make us, not the devil, but Satan doesn't make us sin. We make ourselves sin. He just puts the snare or the temptation out in front of us. We are the ones that choose to go down that path. We are the ones that choose to go towards that desire that he puts in front of us. He paints a pretty picture that we desire, that we start to love, and so we go down that wrong path. We have two choices in this life, and that, of course, being a slave to sin or being a slave to righteousness. He has given us those two paths. We can either fall into that temptation, which the devil has a snare ready for us to fall into, or we can follow God. That is what we have to do. Those are the two choices we have in this life. And so we see that, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. We are drawn away. We are made sinful by us fulfilling our own desires, by us fulfilling the things that are sinful. I want to point out the very next verse also. It says, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth to death. Brings forth death. And so when we fall into that snare, when we fall into sin, we are falling right into the devil's hands. And we are giving birth to death. Or death comes from we're giving birth to sin. And when this sin is full grown, when we are so deep into it, it brings forth death. And of course, verse 15 of James chapter 1 is talking about spiritual death, spiritual separation from God. That is Satan's goal, to get us separated from God. So on that day of judgment, we'll hear those words in Matthew 7, 22, I think it is. I never knew you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. He wants us to hear those words. But we shouldn't want to hear those words. We should serve the Lord. We should try our best to follow that perfect example, which is Christ, so that we can make it to heaven. The reason I want to point those two verses out is because Jesus did not give in to his desires. He didn't give in at all. He kept his integrity. He kept his faith. He kept his purpose of being here. And that was to die on that cross for us, to follow his Father. In verse 4, we see the testament. Back in Matthew chapter 4, in the verses 4, Matthew chapter 4, in the verses 4, it says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Here we see the Lord's answer to Satan. The Lord would answer him with a well-known verse, and I'm pretty sure that maybe all of you guys know where it's from. And who said this the first time? It was Moses. Moses said this. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, in the verses 3, it pretty much says the exact same thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We are to live by everything that's within this book. Because as the B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before life ends. I can't think of that word. I'm not that smart. But you can tell me afterwards. But this book is our basic instructions before we leave this earth. It tells us everything that we have to do to make it to heaven. It tells us everything that we need to do to make it to heaven. And if you want to make it to heaven, well, you have to follow exactly what it says. We are to live by the Word of God. We are to die by it. We are to breathe by it. I'll say that. We are to do everything that we can to follow it. Here, while Jesus was being tempted, he knew that God was better to rely on than anyone else. He showed that relying upon his Father to help him get through this troubling time, that God was the only one that could do it. That God was the only one that would help him make it through. He humbly trusted that God would fulfill his promise and provide for his needs after all this was done. And of course, God would take care of this. He would send his angels to minister unto Jesus after these three temptations happened. But Jesus kept his integrity. Jesus made that perfect example of sinlessness that we all should desire to follow. This example was one that we must follow, the one that would lead us down that right path instead of falling into that path where that snare is. This following Jesus would lead us down that path that all of us should want. As Christians, we are to live by the Word of God, as this text says, as verse 4 says. The plan of salvation is the very thing that we are to live by. We are to hear His Word. We are to believe in it. We are to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And it's not the invitation just yet. We'll get there in a second. But we are to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. We are to repent of any sins. We are to be baptized. We are to live faithfully unto death, as Revelation 2 and the verse 10 says. We are to live by it because it tells us how to get salvation. How we are able to be saved, to be with God for all of eternity. It tells us everything. And so that's why we are to take the Bible, apply its principles to our lives so that we can make it there. So that we can make heaven our home, so that we can be found worthy to be able to go there. Now, in this lesson, we see that even when tempted by Satan, the Lord was still sinless. He set that perfect example that I spoke about in 1 Peter 2 in the verses 21. He set that perfect example. And so we should follow in his footsteps. We should follow after Christ, our perfect example. Because if we do that, we'll make it to heaven. We will be able to call heaven our home before this life, or when this life is over. And so from this lesson, we saw three important points from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. These points inform us on how the devil works, who he is, and how to respond when tempted. We see that the devil walks upon the earth seeking whom he may devour. We see that he is the tempter, the great deceiver. And we see that we are to respond by relying upon God, by serving God for all of our lives. If we follow the Lord, we will succeed. We will make it to that place called heaven. And so this morning, if you want to do that, if you want to follow in his footsteps, all you have to do is follow that plan of salvation, to hear his word, to believe in him, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, to repent of your current or past sins, never to return to him, to do a complete 180 turn away from it, to leave it behind. You have to be baptized, being fully immersed underwater, Mark 16, 15 through 16. And after all that is done, you must live faithfully until death, as Revelation 2 in the verses 10 says. You have to live faithfully unto death so that you can be found worthy to receive that great reward that text talks about, to receive that crown of life that all of us should desire. If you want to come forward, now is the opportunity. Now, it's better to do it now because yesterday is forever gone and tomorrow may never come. And so that makes today the day of all days to do this. Don't wait. Please come forward. Please follow after Jesus' footsteps. And so if you want to be baptized, the opportunity is presented now. Or if you have fallen away and want to make yourself right with God, the opportunity also is presented for you now. And so please do so as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.